feet. Knocks off number one Indiana.
Brent Spillane continues to be the hottest thing in college baseball.
The Illini win it over Ohio State 28-21 at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Darren for the tie. He got it.
Oh,
he got it. 80-80.
Welcome to Aussie Talk. I am Patrick Catazone with Anthony Pasquale. And Illinois had a decent weekend, lost to Iowa and beat Hampton, but we'll start with the Iowa game. There is a such thing as a good loss.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it was one of those losses that I don't think many fans or people of the fan base, or even the coaching staff for that matter, is all that upset with the loss. They were in the game with a ranked opponent at a very tough place to play all game long, with a depleted defense to injuries, and they turned it over three times, and it was a one-possession game up until the end. I think Illinois fought and clawed and kept themselves in the game, and it was one of those losses that kind of proved a lot to this team. I mean, they lost 63-0 to this team last year, and just kind of being able to show them that we're different now and we're a better team now, I think a lot of the Big Ten took notice.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, when you look at this team, too, and hopefully, you know, there are a couple injuries. Hopefully Brandon Peters goes tomorrow. But this is definitely a team that has proven themselves to be a top eight team in the Big Ten that can hang around with everyone in the Big Ten West. Really, I mean, who couldn't we hang? I mean, Minnesota, maybe, but, like, they're having a great year and you know, that game wasn't that bad. It got off to a bad start, and then the offense couldn't move the ball. But this is a team that really can do a lot with the Big Ten West finally, and, you know, that was the next step.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I think also offensively, they kind of just lacked a little bit of rhythm against Iowa. They never really got the run game going until late in the third quarter. I think Peters had to hold the ball and run it a little bit too much. He did have like almost 70 yards on the ground, but he's more of a thrower than a runner. And there were just too many uncharacteristic drops from guys like Josh Amaterbebe, along with some of the other guys in the receiving corps. So even amidst those struggles, I think putting up 10 points against a tough Iowa defense and hanging around in that game is as impressive as what we could have hoped for.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to blame Rod Smith for that offensive struggles, but really.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like blaming Rod. I don't think it's his fault. I think Peters made a couple of questionable decisions, but I also think he was under pressure pretty much all day long and kind of had to get the ball out of his hands when he did. I didn't love the decision to throw it up to Bebe on the flea flicker. I also didn't love the play call, but I don't think the blame on this loss goes to Rod.
No, I you know, I think it was more personnel to not play as well as they typically do. I think Peters made a couple of mistakes. I mean, you said it yourself, the flea flicker interception into the end zone, that was bad. The fumble late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you can't lose the ball third and one. That just can't happen.
Right. So, you know, those were the things in my head that really killed Illinois offensively, and can't really blame Rod Smith for those.
I agree.
On that note, hopefully, like I said, injuries looking for the rest of the week. Illinois might have to go. You know, you think we had the bye week and we're all healthy now, and then we lose a bunch of guys in the Iowa game. We got Northwestern next week and then a Bowl in a couple of months. So you got to hope that Peters is ready to go.
Yeah, but just to counter that, if he's not, I think you have a pretty favorable matchup on your schedule. That you might be able to compensate without him. This is the first game in a while. Illinois is pretty big favorites. I guess Rutgers was as well, but Illinois, as of right now, a 10-point-plus favorite against Northwestern at home, senior day, a lot of great players that they're going to be saying goodbye to, but thankfully it's not goodbye to Peters.
Yeah, exactly. And really, too, I, in my opinion, this team is where – Peters can take them, right? That's as far as we're going to get. And this year that happened to be 7 wins, and hopefully he can progress in the playbook a little bit more and hopefully have some help from Isaiah Williams next year. But you think really in this game especially, you saw it, was we are only going to go as far as our quarterback play, regardless of who we have at running back. And I personally think that's just where college football's at.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I do think if Reggie could have found a couple more holes early, that game might have had a different outcome. I just think the way college defenses are set up, they're much more equipped to stop the run. Like, I don't know what it is. Every team we play seems to be better against the run than against the pass. So a lot of the games are in Peter's hands more so than in the hands of the running backs.
Yeah, I agree. I think the big defensive ends that can make plays is what's really in. And, you know, we have that in AJ this week, and I don't think we'll have quite as good of a defense as Iowa, but still equally as good defense in Northwestern next week.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern is a defensive-minded coach that runs a team. Despite their record, they have been pretty sound defensively pretty much all season. It's going to be a tougher matchup than I think the records might indicate, but it should be a favorable one for Illinois.
Yeah. Moving on to the Hampton win, Illinois finally got their signature win against Hampton, 120-71. They had 20 points from Kofi, 20 points from Io, 19 from Andres, and 19 from Alan Griffin. Really an all-around showing from Illinois in that game. It was the final, the one that we wanted to see, where everyone just went off.
Yeah, it was exactly what we were looking for. I said this on the BTN Plus broadcast. This team has came away with a lot of wins over teams that they should beat, but they haven't really looked that good in any of the games. They let the teams like a Hawaii or a Citadel kind of hang around too long before they finally bury them, or even taking Nicholls State to overtime. That's not something you should be doing when you want to get on the national stage and start competing for, you know, March Madness, Big Ten titles, championships, things like that. When you have a team like Hampton come in, you should beat them 120-71. And, I mean, they played a relatively perfect first half, zero turnovers, and they shot almost 70% in the second half with their bench players in for the last quarter of the game. So, love the showing out of the Illinois offense pretty much all game long. I mean, Io and Kofi were incredible, but I loved what I saw from Alan Griffin. He's really coming into his own this year. He beefed up over the offseason, I think 15 to 20 pounds of muscle, went off in Italy, and now he seems to be that sixth man that we've been looking for from this Illinois team that adds a ton of depth.
Yeah, I agree, and especially at a position that has a little bit need in that too, because we play so many point guards in a game. It's nice to have a shooting guard that could come in, give a little space and a little, availability to the point guard to, hey, you know, kick it when they need to kick it to somebody else and not trying to take control of the game when they need to. This was hopefully the Alan Griffin come out game, but, you know, we'll see. You know, Lindenwood, I think we'll probably see that game's on Tuesday. We'll probably see more of the same.
Yeah, I agree. Lindenwood is a Division II opponent, so they're not quite up to par with Illinois. But it's not a game you should take lightly. It's obviously one that you want to kind of step on their throats early and, you know, close them out and blow them out again, because, you know, getting more and more people experience and playing time, but also getting the gel offensively is really important for Illinois. And I think in that game, you got to be looking for more of the same.
Yeah, I think we'll see another big scoring game from Illinois in that one.
And there's one more thing I want to add about this roster right now, and it's Trent Frazier. I know I've talked about him a little bit in previous episodes, but the transition he's made as a basketball player and just the pure unselfishness he has has just been incredible. Like, he came from almost a 20-point-per-game score freshman year, gets to his sophomore year, the team adds Georgie and Io, and he steps back a little bit, averages around 14 points a game. And this year, once they add Kofi Coburn, he knows that his role isn't to be that guy that just shoots and drives to the lane. He's not that guy anymore. He's a guy that plays some of the best lockdown defense from a guard in the Big Ten, and he can knock down a three when you need it. And he's really accepted that role, and I think as a result, it's made Illinois a much deeper team, because you can have Trent and Io out there at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me that Tyler Underwood would have more points in this game than Trent, I'd call you crazy. But
especially, you know, since Underwood played like 4 minutes and Trent paid like what, 25, 26?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it goes to show you, you know, and this wasn't really his game either. Like, you know, he was a little cold in this one too, but, you know, still, he knows his role on the team. And
he only took four shots. Only took four shots and missed one free throw. He's really stepped it back offensively. I think as the season progresses, his role might expand offensively, but just to show that he's unselfish and willing to do whatever it takes for the team, I think that's a big step for the junior guard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now let's move on, finish on off this episode, a quick one, with some Big Ten power rankings for football. Starting off with number one, I think we all have him, Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State's got to be number one. I think they'll stay there the rest of the year. I really don't see them losing until a potential football playoff, college football playoff. They've been everything you want out of a national contender, and I guess the Big Ten's proud to call them one of theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, Minnesota, still have them over Penn State again, even though Penn State really, really did show something in that Ohio State game, made, you know, despite Ohio State basically amputating their own feet off trying to lose this game. I still think Minnesota with the head-to-head deserves the number two spot.
Yeah, me too, but it's by the ever so slimmest of margins. I think Minnesota hangs on two. I've got Penn State three, but before this year ends, I think those might be flipped.
I agree. I think this Wisconsin game will be very telling. Regardless, Penn State's still the three for me. At the four, I still have Michigan. I think Michigan really – or, excuse me, I switched them. I think Michigan better than Wisconsin. Top 10 team now, I think a little bit comes from the hype that they're going to try and receive for the Ohio State-Michigan game, so that's going to be the premier matchup. But I really think that Michigan is back, basically, and in this end of the season, they manhandled Indiana, and it just goes to show you how good their defense is, because Indiana's offense has been right there all season long.
Yeah, but at the same time, you could say Michigan is back, but then they're going to lose this week. Like, I don't see a way that they don't lose this week. So I still have Wisconsin at that fourth spot, and then I've got Michigan five.
Yeah, Wisconsin five. Like I said, I just disagree there. We'll see this week. I think if Minnesota wins, which I expect them to be Wisconsin this year, I like this pick. Moving on, number six, Iowa, obviously, had a great game against Illinois. But it's clear that Illinois and Iowa are right there next to each other.
Yeah, they're separate tiers, I think. And I've been saying this kind of all year, that top six range that Iowa closes out is that top tier, and then Illinois starts off that next tier. So I've got Iowa six, Illinois seven.
Yeah, I first time I have Illinois seven, I think Indiana.
I love it.
Just definitely takes a step down after that last week, just getting manhandled by Michigan. Can't really see them. The Purdue game's going to be really tough, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have Purdue at nine. But
what about eight?
Eight Indiana.
Oh, eight Indiana for me as well, and I also have Purdue nine.
Yeah. Really quick, back to Illinois. Like we said, that was just, we can hang with those top, most of those top six teams, and that's why we're seven. So, you know, Indiana, I don't think that they could hang with Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, Minnesota, or Ohio State. Moving on, Indiana-Purdue. This matchup next week is going to be a lot of fun because I think Purdue might win it. And finally, Indiana has almost as explosive an offense as Purdue had last year. I'm really excited for this game coming up this week.
Yeah, it should be a good one, and I think it'll be pretty telling for the power rankings as well.
Yeah. Moving on, let's go to the 10th. I have Nebraska. They had a nice little week this week.
Yeah, they needed to get back on track, and they did. I
beat Maryland.
I've also got Nebraska 10. And then I think we probably have the same ending there with
MSU, Maryland, Northwestern, Rutgers.
Yeah, Michigan State, Maryland, Northwestern, Rutgers is how I close it out.
Yep. Those teams are clear to the bottom four. MSU's going to Mark D'Antonio says he's going to try and stay on, but I doubt that ends up happening.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But Maryland's he's had a great career there anyway.
Yeah, Maryland's still bottom of the barrel. They got whooped this week by Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And 13 Northwestern, not very good. And Rutgers still at the bottom of the barrel.
Yep, I'm with you there.
All right. Well, that'll do it for Hockey Talk for Anthony Pasquale. I am Patrick Catazone. Thanks for listening, and ILL.
I-N-I.